great things for us. And, man, it is all because of His amazing grace. God's grace is sufficient. It's powerful. It's enabling. Man, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be? I know we've said that and preached on that and thought about that for a lot of times, but I'm telling you, it is only by the grace of God that we're going to make it. So you just pray this morning. Pray for the service. Pray for those that are in need and those, again, we mentioned that are sick. And I know there's still some folks that, like Sister Glenda, still trying to recover from her surgeries, and some others that are sick at home. Sister Wanda Lee and Brother Joe, you pray for Brother Joe as he takes care of her and tries to help out with that. And I know that situation is you know, not doing well. And just continue to pray. Some of y'all remember Miss Frances Turner. That's Sister Connie Wilson's aunt. And she's out in a nursing home out at Fort Oglethorpe at Parkside. And they called the other day and said that she was on hospice care now. So just continue to pray for all these folks. And I know there's many, 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 many others that we need to be praying for. So just lift them up and ask the Lord to meet their needs today. Okay? All right. Would you take your Bibles with me just for a few minutes this morning? And look with me in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And I want us to look in chapter number 18. 2 Samuel chapter number 18. And we're going to read a little bit beyond, if you will, the death of David's son, Absalom. A lot of you probably know that story, and you remember hearing different people preach about how Absalom got hung by his hair in the trees as he passed by. And because of his vanity, it brought about his death. And you can read about that in the first part of chapter number 18 in 2 Samuel. But I want us to look down in verse number 19. This is after all of these things have happened. And this is when the story is to get back to David and let him know about what happened to his son. And then verse number 19, it said, "Then said Amasa, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day. Thou shalt bear tidings another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. And then said Amahazah, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But how shall let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai? And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run. Then Amahazah ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof there over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and said unto the king, and the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinking the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaazah, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He's a good man and cometh with good tidings. Ahimaazah called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaazah answered, That when Joab, the king's servant, and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I know not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved And he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. My son. Let's have a word of prayer if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for your word. And thank you again for the privilege to be here in the Lord's house. I pray now, God, that you just give us grace and give us direction, give us wisdom here this morning concerning the word of God. Lord, we'll thank you for that. And I pray that you'd just be a blessing in the preaching. I pray you'd just help those that would hear it today. And I pray you'd help us all to be able to go on our way and rejoice with the word of God and the message of the Lord this morning. And we'll thank you for what you're doing for your people. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at these few verses, and as I say, the story is that David is having to deal with his rebellious son, Absalom. He's having to deal with him, and Absalom has run David out of the kingdom, out of the palace. He's run him and put him on a place where, you know, he doesn't have any army. He didn't have any help. He was banished and pushed out of his place as king. And Absalom tries to take over for his father, the king. He's going to take over and be the king. Whether anybody else likes it or not, Absalom says, I'm going to be the king. And you know what happens? Hey, the Bible tells me that David was a man after God's own heart. And because of that, God had some plans that Absalom knew nothing about. And God intended for David to be the king over all. And David stayed in his place, and David was to stay in his place. But Absalom thought, well, I'll just run over the old man, and I'll take charge, and I'll be the king because I deserve it. And he saw himself as one that should be there. But as I said, you know the story, hey, how that David finally gets a plan together, and how that Absalom, his life is taken. Now, if you read earlier in this story, you see that when the movement of the troops and the battle before it actually begins, David tells his men that are there with him, and he's just got a little ragtag force that he's kind of thrown together of all kinds of people that have been outcasts, that are criminals and poor and all this kind of thing. They're untrained soldiers, but they are devoted to David. And as they get ready to go, Joab is David's commander, and he says, be sure you don't hurt my son Absalom. Now, Joab really didn't care whether he hurt him or not. And if you go back and read the story, you see where that when Absalom's hanging in a tree, in an oak tree by his hair, it's Joab that goes and thrusts three darts through him and actually kills the boy. And he's saying, hey, it don't matter what King David said, there's something got to be done about this situation. So he does. But David doesn't know. David has left the command, and David knows there's a battle, and anything can happen in battle. So David is sitting and waiting for the answer about the battle. And as things are winding down, there is a young man here called Amaziah he's wanting to be a courier. He's wanting to be a runner. He's wanting to take the news about the victory in the battle, and he's wanting to take it to King David. And Joab looks at him. As he asks, he says, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. There in verse number 19. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. I want to preach to you just a few minutes this morning on this thought, if we can you carry the message? Can you carry the message? Do you know that not everybody can carry the message? Do you know that, hey, sometimes it takes something that God has put together and someone that God has moved on and somebody that God has anointed to carry the message of what God has done? And, you know, not everybody can do it. And you know, I look at that and I think, well, you know, that's kind of unusual. What's the thought here? What's the deal here? There's a few things about this young man And about the other man that does carry the message, Cushai, there's a few things that are different about them and why one's chosen and the other's not chosen. But what I want you to think about with me this morning is the thought as to why shouldn't you and I be able to carry this message? First of all, I want you to realize this. Hey, if you're going to carry this message and you're going to be called on to carry this message, I want you to realize, first of all, there is an element of truth that we have to deal with. An element of truth. You got to be able to deal with the truth. Now, I want you to know, hey, brother, when you get ready to carry the Word of God, you've got to carry the truth. You know what the Lord Jesus said Himself out in the garden as He was praying and as He was getting ready to go on to the cross? He asked the Father, He said, Lord, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. And Jesus also said this. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is what is needed today. I mean, I want you to know, a lot of folks in the day that we live, they're dealing in something that may be half truth. A lot of them are dealing in some things that have no truth to it. And brother, I'm telling you today, in carrying the message, there is particularly an element of truth that's needed. I mean, we got to have the truth. You can't just go tell anything. But I want to tell you this about the truth. First of all, the truth needs to be put forth. The truth needs to be put forth. Do you know, hey, there's one reason here why Joab could trust one young man and not the other. Because he said, I believe this fellow right here will put forth the truth. Thank God the Lord's looking for some folks today that's ready to put forth the truth. Do you know everywhere you go that hangs up a shingle that calls itself a church, they don't proclaim the truth. They try to tell you what you want to hear. They try to tell you what's pleasing. They try to tell you do anything you like. They try to tell you it's okay any way you go and whatever you do. But brother, I'm telling you, we need the truth, and we need the truth put forth. When you look at this story and you see when it really came down to the moment of truth, Amahijah, he just really couldn't pull the trigger. The king saw him. And in verse number 28, the king said, before that in verse 27, he said, he's a good man. He's going to have some good tidings. He's going to tell me something good, I think. And in verse 28, Amahijah called, said unto the king, all is well. And as he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, he said, blessed be the Lord God, the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord my king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Amahijah answered and said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. I mean, the truth had to be spoken right there. He said, is my boy all right? Is Absalom still safe? And he said, well, I don't know. I believe he did know. But I believe he was either afraid, ashamed, or frightened to tell the truth. He said, well, let's see how we're going to work this. And you know, that's the way the world is today. They want to hear something that will soft soap the truth. They want to hear something that they think everybody wants to hear, and they'll tell the story, and thank God they'll stay away from the truth. Do you know the truth is that Jesus is the only way you get into heaven? Do you know the truth is that hell is real, and hell waits for those that won't come to the truth? You know, that's a lot of folks say, oh, I don't want to hear that. I don't like to hear that. You ought to change your message. You ought to kind of soften it up some. You ought to kind of... No, sir, brother. We're dealing in the truth. We've got to put forth the truth. The truth is, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Let's put forth the truth. The truth has to be put forth. Because let me tell you this. The truth is what God prefers. That's what God wants out of every one of us. It is the preferred letter that God wants out of our mouth. Hey, tell them the truth. Amen. Hey, the Bible said that the Lord Jesus told His disciple, He said, don't worry about what you're going to say when you stand. He said, I'll put the words in your mouth. And I guarantee you, when God puts the words in your mouth, it's the preferred word of truth. Just tell them. Tell them the truth. Give it to them strong and straight and plain. Preach the truth of the Word of God. Oh, like I said, we got folks today and they want to hear something else. They want to hear, you know what Paul said? Paul said, for the time's coming, when he's talking to Timothy, he said, the time's coming when they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He said, and they want to hear some kind of fable. They want to hear some kind of bedtime story. They want to hear something, but they won't have the truth. They won't have the truth. And you know what? I'm afraid we're there today. Everybody you talk to say, oh, well, I'm a member of a church and I had an experience and I did this and that. And, other. And it's not my business to doubt anybody about the fact of salvation. But I'm telling you this, you better know the truth is, hey, you got to get right with God before you go into heaven. It doesn't matter what mama done, what daddy did, and what grandma and grandpa believed and all. Hey, you're going to have to answer for yourself. You got to answer for yourself, and you need the truth. You see, this young man, he was afraid. He was confused. He didn't know what to tell the king. Hey, the best thing to tell him is the truth. You see, when Cushai comes and tells him. He says, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king asked him the same question. Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. He's dead. He's gone. And it's over. That was the truth. And as hard as that was for David to hear, hey, it's still the truth, wasn't it? It was still, he wanted to know the truth. Do you know the world wants to know the truth? As I said, it's the truth that is preferred by God. It is the truth that we ought to put forth. But let me tell you this, it's the truth that's going to prevail one day. The truth will prevail. The truth is going to overcome. Thank God, I'm glad the truth is. Amen? Hey, we got to have the truth. Now, I know we get called bigoted. We get called narrow-minded. We get called fanatical. I mean, just a little bit of everything. And people say, you really believe that? Hey, let me tell you. The Bible says that this right here is the settled word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O word, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hey, I'm telling you, this thing's going to work when everything else has gone to pieces. And people don't want to hear the truth. The truth. So there's an element of truth that is found in this. But not only that, there's an element of trust. Do you see there's an element of trust? When you look at this, you think, well, why didn't Joab just tell that first young man? Let me just tell you something about that first young man, Amahiah. You see, the Bible said he is the son of Zadok. Zadok is a priest in Jerusalem. Go back and read that in this last couple of chapters, and you'll see that Zadok is one of the priests that is still in the worship area in Jerusalem. He's still there. And this young man is his son. Now, if you go back and read further, you'll see that they had a setup for the word of whatever was going on with Absalom, whatever was happening there, the priest would find out. They would hear, just like you would anywhere. They'd hear the talk. They'd hear, and they would get the word to this young man, the son of Zadok, Ahizamah. He got the word of God, or he got the word about Absalom, and he took that word on out to King David. He was already a runner with some of the word that was going on round about. So he had been doing this running before. He'd been taking word and saying, here's what Absalom's got planned. Here's what they're working on. Here's what's going on. Because that's what he had been doing. So it looks like he should be a trustworthy guy. Looks like he's been doing this before. But I'll tell you something. When Joab looked at him, he knew that he couldn't handle this message. He knew that there was going to be something about. He looked at him and he said, yeah, you can take tidings another day, but not today. You don't have anything to tell. You can't handle this, man. I'm telling you, we got a world today that seems like, hey, they're afraid to hear the truth, and we got preachers today afraid to preach the truth. It's a matter of trust. And God has entrusted to us the word of this truth. It's a matter of His trust. Can He trust you? I mean, hey, not just you preachers. I'm talking about all of us as Christians. Can He trust you to tell somebody the truth about this word? It's a matter of trust. Why is it a matter of trust? Well, I want you to know something. Joab realized this was an important message that was about to be delivered. It's an important message. He said, now look, we got to get this to David, and it's important that you give him the straight of it. It's important that you tell him all of it. Don't wishy-wash. Don't mealy-mouth. Don't back down. Tell him the whole thing. It's an important message. Let me tell you, the world today needs to hear an important message. You get those things in your mail? Get a letter in the mail. And that thing will have across the front of it. It'll say, an important message for you. Well, I don't know about some of them. I've opened them up, and the important message was, we want you to send us some money. Amen? The important message is, oh, we're short on funds, and we need some help. Hey, they've got all kinds of important messages in the world. But I want you to know something. This right here is the most important message that I know of. This is the most critical thing that is needed in the world today. This is the word that the world needs to hear. It's an important message, and it's an issue of trust. God has entrusted to us the mission of getting this word out to a lost and to a dying world. That's an important message. It needs to be heard. Why is it important? Let me tell you this secondly. Not only is it an important message, it's a message that's going to make an impact. This message that Cushai was about to give David is going to make an impact on him. It was going to do something to him. I mean, and Joab knew that. Joab knew. He said, look, you can't take this. He said, you cannot handle this message because it's going to make an impact on the king. And you know, this could have been going through his mind too. Joab could have been thinking this. If I send this young man and David does what he's done to some of the other people, then this young man's life could even be in danger. You remember there was a servant that came and told David about the deaths of Jonathan and Saul? And he thought he's going to get some kind of reward. You know what happened to him? David had him killed. So here, maybe Joab's thinking, if I send Ahimaaz, he might wind up dead. He said, I don't know if I... He said, but Cushai is one of his servants, one of his men. He said, I think he can handle it. And even if it comes to death, I think my soldier, I'd rather have him dead than this son of the priest. I'd rather let this thing fall on a soldier than on this young boy. And he must have been a young man. He was pretty healthy. You see the story how it says that Cushai took off running. But the other young man overtook him after he'd already gone by giving him a head start. And he still was able to outrun him to the king and got there first. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, man, this was some news that was going to make an impact. And Joab wanted to make sure the right guy was giving the message. Let me tell you, the word that you and I have is going to make an impact. It's going to hurt somebody's feelings. It's going to break their heart. It's going to probably aggravate them. It's going to make some of them mad. It's going to get some of them all turned against you. But thank God, it's going to make an impact when you give the message from the Word of God. They ain't going to like it sometimes. They're not going to pat you on the back. But the good thing is, hey, they're going to hear the truth. They're going to hear the truth. So here he is trying to figure out who to send. He said, well, who can I trust? He said, it's going to make an impact on David. Who can I trust? He said, not only that, this is not the intended message that David wanted to hear. Do you notice that at least two or three times David says, well, if he's coming, he's bringing tidings. Whoever it is, he said, here comes a guy. If he's running by himself, he said, he's got some good tidings. He said, boy, this is good. And then the man said, look, somebody else is coming. He said, well, he's bringing tidings. He also bringeth tidings. And then finally, when he found out that it was Ahimaaz, he said, it's the son of Zadok. He said, he's a good man. He comes with good tidings. David was expecting to hear that all is well with Absalom. But you know what? Hey, it wasn't the intended message that he got. And Joab said, I've got to give somebody the message that I can trust. Somebody that's not going to have any fear, that's not going to have any backup, that's not going to have any mealy mouth, any soft soap about it. I want them to give them the true message. Brother, let me tell you something this morning. Be encouraged to give the true message. You know, there's a lot of folks that will ask you a lot of times, well, what do you think about all the different religions of the world? Yeah. Here we go. Y'all've opened the door. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the only way you're going to get to heaven. And then they'll look at you and they'll say, but don't you think if them other people are sincere? Hey, they may be sincere. They may go religiously and devoutly to do whatever they do. But I'm telling you, the only way you get into heaven is by the salvation laid down according to the Word of God through Jesus. It's the only way you're going to make it. That's the truth. And then, hey, God's trusted it to us. Isn't it amazing that he's trusted it to fleshly beings like you and me? I don't think I understand everything about that. You know, why don't he use the angels? Because he brought the angels in at different times and let them tell some man what to say. But it's God's plan that men are to be entrusted with the eternal message of the Word of God. He used men to pin it down. He's used men to preach it through the ages. And he's used men, women, boys, and girls to testify of who he is. And brother, you and I are just part of that. So it's an issue of truth. It's has an issue of the trust in it. And then last of all, I want you to see the issue or the element of how it's taken. How this thing's going to be taken. David's looking for some good news. And it said in the verse 32, the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. They're gone. They're dead. We've won the war. And the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Didn't take it very good, did he? He didn't take the message very well. As I said, man, you're going to run into that as you have the message that God has given us. Everybody's not going to take it very well. You ever seen anybody just kind of grow defensive in your very sight? You begin to tell them, they ask you, and I've had people ask me, and while you're talking to them, you see them, all of a sudden, they start throwing up their barriers, they start bowing up, and they start getting like, you ain't telling me the truth. But I am telling you the truth. You asked for it, and now you're getting it, but you know what? Sometimes people just don't like it. I want to tell you something, friend. Hey, how's this thing going to be taken? Well, sometimes, let me tell you this, the Bible says the truth hurts in so many words. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hey, when a friend wounds you, isn't it something when one of your friends comes up and tells you something about you that you really don't want to hear, but it's the truth? When a friend comes up and says, hey, I love you, but I want you to know you said something out of order, you did something that wasn't right, you offended this one, you hurt that, you know, whatever. When a friend comes up and tells you, hey, it hurts. And David was hurt this day. You see how it was when Cushai told him, it said the king was much moved. It hurt him to the very core of his being. Now, if you go on and read in chapter number 19, you'll see where Joab reads his title pretty clear for him. Joab goes and tells him, said, what in the world are you doing? He said, here you are crying about this rebel because he's your son and not thankful to the people that have rescued you, that love you, that have defended you, that are faithful to you, and who God has used to get rid of your enemy. What's wrong with you? And boy, that didn't sit real well with David either, but he realized it was the truth. And as I said, sometimes when the message comes and how it's taken, hey, the truth hurts. Can I tell you something? People have told me the truth. Hey, and when they tell you the truth, it hurts sometimes. When somebody tells you that you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ, sometimes it hits you right there and it hurts. It wakens something in you. It stirs something. I mean, David was moved when he heard this word. And I'm telling you today, there may be somebody this morning and you're hearing the word and it'll hurt you. But I'm telling you, it's still the truth. The word of God is your friend and God's trying to tell you, and it may hurt, but it's still the truth. How are you going to take it? Well, it may bring you some hurt. But let me tell you this. At least it was honest. Do you see that? Ahimaaz was, he wasn't very honest. He told the king, he said, well, when I was there, Joab and me and another man, when he sent us, he said, I saw a great tumult, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what's happened. I really don't know what to tell you. Sure he did, because Joab had already told him. He said, you don't need to go because the king's son's dead. And this ain't going to be a pretty thing if you go and have to tell him that. You don't want to get involved in that. You don't want to do this. But he thought, oh yeah, let me run. I'm a good runner. I've been running. I've run before. He said, you can run another day. You can take a message another day. But today, you need to just stay here and stay away from this deal. Brother, I'm glad God's got somebody. Hey, aren't you glad God didn't have some little wishy-washy, mealy-mouth come in when John the Baptist came? John the Baptist came in preaching, and he said, boys, let me tell you, I'm preparing the way for one that's coming after me, and you guys need to repent of your sin. You know what? People didn't like that. I mean, they didn't like it. They didn't welcome John with open arms. I mean, look what happened to him. Eventually, he's beheaded. He walks into the king, and the king says, well, John, what do you think about me and my new wife? And he said, you don't need your new wife. That's your brother's wife. You done something underhanded to steal her, and you're not right with God. And you know what? Herod didn't like it too well. Amen? How'd he take it? Well, he didn't take it too good. But you know what? John was honest, wasn't he? John told them Pharisees, when they come to see him baptize people, he said, what are you guys doing here? You're full of the devil. You need to be down here and get right with God. Amen. They didn't like that very well. So they'd cripe and complain and squall and moan about John. And Jesus said, hey, you know, make up your mind. You like this or you like that? Y'all can't make up your mind what you want to hear. They don't want to hear it. You know, the straight gun barrel truth. Brother, folks don't like it. It hurts. But let me tell you something. It is honest. It is honest. When somebody asks, give them an honest answer. Give them a straight. Give them, I mean, just right down the middle of the line. Give them the Word of God and tell them this is what it said. And let me just tell you this. You know, people ask you a lot of times about your opinion. Well, they're a dime a dozen. I mean, you know, everybody's got one, hadn't they? But let me tell you, the best thing you and I can do is point them to that book. Point them to the Word of God. I mean, sometimes my opinion might be wrong. My thinking might be off. But if you'll line up with this book right here, you'll be right every time. You'll be right every time if you'll just go along with what the Word of God says. So the truth hurts. The truth is honest, but let me tell you this, in the end, the truth is helpful. The truth is what's going to help folks. You know, there's probably some of you here this morning like me. You didn't want to hear the truth that you needed to get saved from your sins. You sat down and said, what sins? I'm a pretty good fella. I try to help people. I try to do good stuff most of the time. I try to be honest in my dealing. I try to pay my bills. I try, you know, we might sit there and try to reason, but I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost of God gets involved in that truth that's told, it begins to do something on the inside of it. You know when it does that? That honesty, that straightforwardness, that hurt even that you have, it begins to help you to see that they're right. That preaching's right. Do you know what? Before I got saved, I mean, I thought, man, I'll move in the church and that preacher can't get me. I might be sitting in the back, but I guess what? I'm going to move up. He'll get somebody else back out. Every time I moved up, he got a shot beam, straight laser gunned at me.
I said, well, I'll just get up on about the third or fourth row. Lord, he really can't get me there because that's where all them other hallelujah people are. I'll just move up there. You know what? He found me up there too. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, Eddie, you can't get away. When God begins to put the truth in your direction and begins to hurt your feelings some and begins to give you the honest answer of what your questions are all about. And you know what? It wasn't in questions I was asking anybody. It was stuff that's going on the inside of me. But you know what it finally did? It finally helped me to see that there wasn't any other way I could get there other than coming to Jesus Christ and letting Him save me. You know who convinced me of it? Well, there's a lot of folks there talking to me that night, but it was the Holy Ghost that was on the inside saying, you need to be saved. And this is the only way it's going to happen. This is the only way that it's going to happen. Let me tell you, you may be here this morning. You may be here this morning, and the same thing's happening to you. The Holy Spirit might have dealt with you, might have told you, and you might not have ever talked to anybody else, might not have had a discussion. You may have, but then again, you may not have. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will let you know this morning that the message that's been carried to you, maybe your friend has carried the message to you. Maybe somebody you worked with has carried the message to you. Maybe somebody you went to school with has carried the message to you. Maybe somebody, your neighbor down the road, maybe a family member has given you the message. You know what? It's time for you to act upon what you've been told. And sure, it might have hurt your feelings. It might have aggravated you. It might have ruffled your feathers. It might have just got you all riled up at some point. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is here to help you see that the truth is what's going to set you free this morning. The truth is going to set you free. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. The truth is going to set you free. Can you carry the message? Can I carry the message? Can we carry this message this morning and tell folks the truth about Jesus Christ? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it's hard to look at your loved ones and say, you know, you need to get saved. They look at you and say, well, what about you? You've done this and you've done that. Yeah, but I'm trusting Christ. I'm not perfect, but I'm trusting Him to save me from my sins.
Amen.
And I suggest that you do the same. Let me tell you something. Look at me this morning. I'm not perfect. And I tell you what, I know one that is. And He'll save you from your sin. Whoever you are, wherever you are this morning, let's stand if you would. Maybe the Lord Jesus is speaking to your heart here.